You are bound to find out sooner or later. Los Angeles may have the country's second largest Jewish community, but we're still a small village where it counts. 2 weeks ago, my community of Iranian-American Jews was horrified to learn that a 64-year-old man had allegedly shot and killed his 54-year-old wife in Encino. He is an Iranian Jew. So was she. It happened early in the evening, in an otherwise quiet residential street outside the home of the victim's close friend. The woman was allegedly shot to death in the presence of the couple's teenage son. Police found her with a gunshot wound to her head. They located her husband several blocks away and took him into custody. I'm not here to speculate any further on details of this horrific incident, or to spread rumors. Or worst of all, to pour salt on the throbbing wound of the victim's loved ones. I have friends who knew the victim and described her as a modest, sweet woman and an unbelievably devoted mother. No, I am not here to cause more pain. But I will say this. Murder in the local Iranian Jewish community? Unfathomable. Iranian American Jews are our community doctors, lawyers, dentists, realtors, entrepreneurs, shopkeepers, handymen, startup founders, teachers, and in this case of this writer, your friendly neighborhood weekly columnist. There's a bigger reason why the greater Jewish community is so shocked over this tragedy, and it goes beyond a well-known truth, not a stereotype, but a truth, that most Iranian American Jews, whether in Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta or Baltimore, are educated, more traditional, not prone to violence and yes, often successful. There is a myth, one that is at the core of why this tragedy has sent such shockwaves throughout Jewish LA, that assumes that once immigrants and refugees set foot in America, their redemption is such a given that any problems they face in this country seem minuscule compared to the ones they faced in their former lands. For example, when I was suddenly caught in painful throes of postpartum anxiety after the birth of our first child in LA, I was so disappointed with myself. I had survived both Ayatollah Khomeini and Saddam Hussein when I was a young girl in Iran. Khomeini ruined Iran and Hussein launched the 8-year-long Iran-Iraq War, of which I am a child survivor. I had survived two of the worst dictators in recent history, and a war that took over 1 million lives. But there I was, several years ago, unable to access peace and basic happiness, despite living in America and being a new mother. I was so hard on myself for struggling. There's an unwritten promise about the life of an immigrant or refugee that the problems we face in America will never be as bad as the ones we had back home. But what if those problems only worsen? In hindsight, almost every Iranian Jew who was given refuge in this extraordinary country after escaping Iran should have been granted immediate access to a compassionate therapist. And that includes mothers, fathers, children, and even grandparents. This is hardly a critique of my wonderful community. In fact, it's the ultimate compliment. The next time you visit a local Iranian Jewish doctor, lawyer, dentist, shopkeeper, entrepreneur, or anyone else over the age of 35, I hope you may appreciate that this caring, talented person most likely needed intervention to treat post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, especially as a youth, and probably did not receive it. But here they are, treating our disorders, founding groundbreaking startups, educating our children, and throwing the best parties in the Western world. Sorry for all that loud music at 1 a.m. last week. Someone's son or daughter was admitted to medical school and a celebration was in order. How remarkable that our community has soared to such great heights despite having been torn from its former homeland after 2,700 years, enduring a cycle of intergenerational trauma, and for the most part, having had little access to mental health support until now. Through divine providence, unrelenting optimism, and sheer grit, we persevered. There is no doubt that America saved us, but was America itself our intervention? For a refugee or immigrant, is America itself the ultimate therapist? Perhaps. After living here for just 1 year and delighting in the sights, sounds, and tastes of all things American, I nearly forgot the trauma of my early childhood in Iran. Kids often tap into their own resilience and selective memory to emotionally survive chaos and violence. For 2.5 decades, I thought I was fine. And then, after I had children, and as if it had made an appointment, PTSD knocked at my door and reminded me of our overdue visit. Since then, I have understood that those who are given refuge in America do not magically lose their inner demons by the simple virtue of being here. I was reminded of that truth several weeks ago, when an innocent wife and mother was shot and killed in an otherwise peaceful neighborhood in Encino. Her death has sparked an onslaught of outrage and lamentations among local Iranian-American Jews regarding our community's near-obsessive concern for keeping up appearances, and that includes not adequately addressing domestic violence more publicly. For her part, the victim of the Encino shooting was seeking help from friends and local authorities, and I would never blame her for her own death. I simply hope that she felt loved and supported while she was alive. Last week, Santa Monica-based pediatrician Dr. Parisa Khorsandi, who moved from Iran to the U.S. in 1994 and has worked in pediatrics for 25 years, posted a moving plea in which she implored our community to abandon its obsession with saving face, Abaru, in Persian. "I was really shaken by this," she told me regarding the alleged murder in Encino. "In general, there is a lot going on behind closed doors and people are afraid to speak up. Abaru prevents them from seeking help." Khorsandi told me about one Iranian Jewish mother who arrived at her office with a bruised face and insisted that her two-year-old child, not her husband, had hit her. She feared her family's reputation, and as well as a grueling divorce process that might take away her child. Another mother refused to tell the medical staff at Khorsandi's office the reason for scheduling a visit, her daughter's drug abuse. She insisted on only speaking with Khorsandi. "Instead of gossiping, we must use our mental energy to help each other," said Khorsandi, who also knows countless female doctors who choose to stay in abusive marriages, fearing a disruption to their public image. "I understand all these fears, especially when we believe our community will be so unforgiving in the face of crisis. Perhaps this tragedy will serve as a warning. Perhaps it will inspire a generous philanthropist in our community to fund the first of its kind safe house for immigrant Jewish women escaping physical or emotional abuse. Perhaps donations on behalf of the victim's family will be directed partly toward ensuring that her children and those who witnessed her death have access to a caring mental health specialist for as long as they need, even if it means a lifetime." This year, with the release of the haunting film, The Brutalist, Hollywood finally caught on to the notion that someone may arrive in America believing they have been granted the ultimate redemption, only to endure pain that shatters that dream into a thousand pieces. Ironically, for all of our efforts as Iranian Jews in America to avoid the kind of assimilation that has affected older Jewish communities here, and has resulted in weaker Jewish identity and soaring intermarriage in those communities, there is one silver lining to having newer generations of Iranian-American Jews who are becoming more Americanized by the day. Perhaps one day, we can finally shed the impossibly difficult demands of constantly trying to control our public image. "I know we will get there one day." Remember the young mother I mentioned above who blamed her two-year-old for the bruise on her face? Khorsandi told me that she eventually left her husband and enrolled in graduate school to ensure her own professional success and freedom. By doing so, she tapped into the best that America has to offer. Tabby Raphael is an award-winning writer, speaker, and weekly columnist for the Jewish Journal of Greater Los Angeles. Follow her on X and Instagram at Tabby Raphael.